Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody have a good weekend?
So far.
So far, it's been good. Good to see everybody. Dee, you feeling okay?
Not bad, thank you. I'm getting there one day at a time.
One day at a time.
Thank you.
Sweet Jesus, huh? Yeah, good to see you here. Yeah. Good to see JM here too, huh?
Yeah.
Hanging in there, huh, buddy?
Yeah.
Good for you. All right. Was good to have Tim here last week. Had a great time with him. I was real happy to be able to spend a lot of time with him. I hope you were able to chat with him a little bit. If not, looking forward to seeing him at conference as well as everybody else. So those of you that are not going to conference, I'll tell you what, man, join in. I know Brad will be here. He'll take care of everything real good. I encourage you to be a part of what God is doing still and join in, and we'll go out there and do what we got to do and come back and be back here with you, okay? Last few weeks, I've been talking about Jesus being the way. It's been very cool, very prosperous. At least if we look at teachings, there are some very interesting thing that teaching does for us. Teaching sets in order the mind of God in you. Now, that teaching, obviously, you need the Spirit of God to come in and make it alive, right? But if you love teaching and the words of the writers in scriptures, they're teachers, they're preachers, they speak the word of God, and it should do what it was sent to do. But the scripture does say prophecies do fail and tongues cease. There's reasons for that. But it does not neglect that the word of God, if it comes from God, is it sent forth to do what it is supposed to do? Which is what? What is God's word supposed to do? Anything? That's good, Keith. It's supposed to prosper in the thing that God sent it. Actually, that's a good answer. You could name a whole list of things that you think the Word of God is coming to do, but in general, that's a great answer in the sense of no matter what the Word of God comes to do, it's going to prosper. So if the Word of God is sent to make known to you that you are a son of God, will it prosper? But what if you have unbelief in you? Will it prosper then? Or will the word of God that is sent to you prosper because it manifests your unbelief? So, Brad, is it possible that the word of the Lord was sent to reveal that you're a son, but at the same time, in order to do that, it has to start manifesting the things that are stopping you from seeing that? You know what everybody wants? For God to come and just say you're a son, and you believe it, and thereby go your way. Wouldn't that be quicker? We could wrap this whole earth thing up and be out of here in no time, couldn't we? If God could just come, tell us you're a son, and everybody just, whoop, we're gone. We're sons, and that's it. But isn't it interesting that the farther away from Adam that man gets in thought, what happens to you? The more corruptible you become. Has anybody thought of that? Have you ever looked at it as that in a sense? In other words, at the thought of Adam started out just having some thoughts revealed in him. But the farther men got away from the garden, what happened? The more corruptible they became, the more separated they became, the more in the mind of corruption and death and darkness man has become. So imagine, apply that in our thoughts in this life, How far away from God has man become? The more we get into life as flesh and blood, the farther our thoughts get away from God. And the more that happens, how far does God got to go to come get us? And how many, let's say it this way. Has everybody thought of your mind and your heart as a kingdom? You ever considered your heart and mind as a kingdom? Or is it just Julie? It's just me. Have you ever considered it as a kingdom, and in that kingdom, there are all kinds of laws that you have made for that kingdom? It only makes sense, wouldn't it? In other words, if God's kingdom is in rule, what kind of laws are in God's kingdom? Righteousness, love, peace, all of these things, right? The good word of God, the truth, the speaking of truth. What if God's not in charge of that kingdom? What kind of laws would you make? Yeah, you really, and what's happening is man is forming, as playing God, is forming their own rules and their own laws. You know how we make our own laws? There's a couple of ways. Number one, you take the word of God and you make your own rules by believing the word of God a certain way. Okay, that's one way to do it. But then you just take God in general. Instead of being very specific about the word of God, you take God in general, and then you begin to make your own thoughts about God in general. And that now you're setting up your kingdom of beliefs. Because everybody believes in something. Right? What does God want to do by sending the Lord? He wants to focus us to who we follow and how we get there. Focus us. Isn't that the point of, it's one of the points of God sending his son. He wants to focus us so that we know the path to walk on. Because if the path is a narrow path and not a broad path, how many are going to find the narrow path? Few. But many's going to find the broad path. You know why? Because the narrow path is too narrow to a lot of people in that thought. But what if you have set your kingdom up to walk the narrow path? You would be fine with it. You would walk it. So let's look at a few things here. How do you perceive God? I don't know that I can do this the right way on this board here, but I'm going to try, okay? Because I can't draw a face too well, I'm just going to do it like this, okay? And this is like a half circle, okay? Just count this as a person's face. And when a person looks or perceives something, looks outward, that's what I'm going to call it. When a person looks outward, this right here is his vision. When a person looks outward, not necessarily physically, because that's not what I'm talking about. We can all see. If we can see, we can see. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how you perceive what you see and how you perceive what you hear. What determines what you are looking at? That's the question. What is it that determines what you are looking at? How do you perceive? How many would like to have God in every part of your life? Okay, that's good. But what will determine that is what you are viewing from. The glass that you are looking through. That's what you need to have worked in you. How do you perceive, or how do you look at things in not only your life, in other people's life, or into the things of God? That would be a thing that you would want to know. This is why focus has to come to us. What should guide the mind? What should guide the mind? Isn't it not the Spirit of God? Okay. So the Spirit mind should be the guide. That should be the guide. If the Spirit is the guide that is working in you, in your consciousness, when you look at things, even outward, and I call outward just images, okay? So if you're thinking physically from saying, look at out here, that can apply, but remember, I'm just talking about from the way you think. If the Spirit of God is in you, when you begin to look and perceive things, will it not be in a mind of God? So even if a thing is wicked, will you misjudge it? No, you will not. You will judge it righteously. Say, for example, how many of you would like to be judged according to where you are right now versus where God says you truly are? Which one would you like us to do? You want to go by the true, which is what God has said. So what if, wouldn't that be the difference between judging after the Spirit and judging after the flesh? Is where in the thoughts of consciousness and in your heart, if you've got the living Word of God in your heart, how are you going to judge everything? You're going to judge it by the Word of God, what God's Word says it is. So you're not going to struggle with your own self. In other words, how many of you misjudge yourself all the time? Why do you think you do that? So in your heart, you're judging it by what you see, because in your heart, the flesh is still present. Is that the answer? What do we need to come and focus us? God provided a way. Yes, that would be true. And the comment was you're looking at your flesh to be the perfection rather than His flesh to be the perfection. That's true. Which will never work. His flesh, my flesh will never be perfect. Your flesh will never be perfect. But how do you judge your own weakness? I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to make it in this walk with God, you need to know this right here. How do you judge your own weakness? If you know how to do that the right way, you're going to make it. If you don't, you are probably going to kill yourself, not physically, not like a suicidal thing. I'm talking about put yourself in death continually. So how do you judge your weakness? If you are able to walk in the Word of God in patience and love and kindness, you will not destroy your own life by always condemning it. Say, for example, how many of you have ever felt like you failed God? Have you ever felt like you failed God? How did you know you did? How did you know you failed God? Okay, so if the Word revealed it, then the flesh has done what it's supposed to do. So who failed? Did everybody just hear what I just said? The flesh is supposed to be corruptible. It's going to fail. The flesh is weak and it's not going to work right. So does the Word of God tell you that? That's what you need to know. In other words, would you be more patient with yourself if you realized, man, I was in the flesh today. Whew, that's pretty rough. That's corruptible right there. I mean, if you learned something about it and was able to be taught by it, you would learn to be patient with it. Whereas the word of perception of life is going to understand that and not condemn you to hell all the time. It will always fail. Well, the patience obviously is for the word of God to rise up in you. So here's my point. If I'm working, and I'm talking from experience here, okay? If God shows me that there's a word of God in me, but I haven't been able to get there yet. Say, like, I haven't been able to get to that place yet with the word of God. What do you do until that time? Okay, that's where patience has to work, because what if you condemn yourself to death? You think you'll ever get to where that word is at? You won't. I mean, we spend a lot of time edifying many of you to tell you, just keep coming, just keep coming. The aspect of God judging the flesh has to work, and the flesh has to be identified. But the perception that you view this whole work of God in is going to matter. It's going to matter. If you don't know that you're in flesh and you think that you should be perfect without dealing with the flesh, are you going the wrong way? You're going the wrong way. To go the right way would be to be put in flesh and to deal with it just like Jesus did and overcome it. That would be the right way. But sometimes we're just so surprised that we have weakness. I'm just so surprised I shouldn't be doing that. Really. Because if you entered into flesh, guess what you're going to do? You're going to be weak, corruptible. You're going to do the things that are the works of flesh. That's what you're going to do. Now, it's funny because it's a borderline where you might think, well, I'm justifying being okay in the flesh. But I'm going to tell you something. I hate sin. I hate sin. And there's no justification for being in the flesh. The justification is Jesus overcoming the flesh. But here's the thing that I know is that, tell you what, I'll read a scripture to you, Nick, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let me find the verse on that. You know, I think it's like around 7 or 8 where it starts talking about charity. Let's try verse 8 if I had to just pick one. Let's try this. Charity never fails. Oh, that's good. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. We'll get back to that maybe. Verse 9. For we know in part, this is what I'm looking for, and we prophesy in part. Part. Keep going. Verse 10. For when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Does the writer of this book, which we know to be the Apostle Paul, is he aware of the part that is not perfect? Is he aware of it? Is he saying that when it's done in part, we're going to read, I think, next, that that is a child thought? But what happens when the part is done away with? What has happened? The perfect has now come. What are we all pressing to? The perfection. Your expectation and how you view this is going to matter, is what I'm saying. Can you go through the part, Micah, without be overtaken? You can. You can be in the part waiting for the perfection to come without being overcome. That's what I'm saying to you. How you view this is going to matter to you. If you think that being in the part is wrong, this is important now. If you think that being in part is wrong, then you will fail. Did we just read charity does not fail? Now, it does say prophecies fail. Why would prophecy fail? Because you think being in part is wrong. That would make prophecy fail. The prophecy is for your perfection. If we prophesy to you, we are prophesying your perfection in God. But what if you mishandle the prophecy by always condemning yourself for being in the part? You know what's going to happen to you? Prophecy is going to fail. Wow, that's... And tongues are going to cease. Do you know why tongues would cease, Brad? Do you, Micah, do you know why tongues would cease? Do you guys know this? Why would tongues cease? I'm just going to throw a statement out there and I'm going to move on, okay? The tongues are the things that guide you to the perfection. Prophecy tells you what it is. The tongues guide you there and teach it to you. If the tongues cease, what ceases in you? The coming to perfection. Did that make sense? It will. Did that make sense? The tongues have got to continue. In other words, the parables, even the bad ones, have got to continue in you so that prophecy will bring you to perfection. Man, that's good stuff. I think it is. What an awesome writer. But the part's got to be done away with. The perfect's got to come. You're going to be working in a child here. Good timing. You're going to, yes.
Sorry to interrupt. Is that something like bringing out the old man into the new man?
Yeah. 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 Be not children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Is that what the scriptures say? Could you look at that and go, why would God be telling me, be not children, and then you're telling me the part is okay to be a child? Is that not the word of God showing you of where you're not supposed to stay in? Yes. The word of God is there to instruct us of where we need to go. Do not be children tossed to and fro. How long do you want to stay there being tossed to and fro by every doctrine that comes along? Not long at all. Next verse, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. This is very, very simple teaching he's teaching here. We want to be grown up into the man of God, right? Next verse, verse 12. For now we see through a glass, darkly. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Next verse. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Why? Because it will never fail. Now go back to the last verse. Now notice something here that we read here. Remember when I drew this on the board here, just as this is a type of you? Sure doesn't look like it. But this is your view of what you see, really inward and outward. If the glass is dark that you're looking through, what will you see? Darkness. Right on. Will you see obscurity? Will you see obscurity? In other words, what would a type of obscurity look like? What would that be? Anybody want to try that? What would obscurity look like? True, you don't see the end of a thing. True. Are there things missing that you're not seeing? It's very imperfect. It's not perfect at all. You're missing things. Even here in this life, you could see by looking into dark places, do you make up stuff? People make up stuff. You think you see things that you don't. Or if you see something, you can't quite make it out. Imagine looking at everything in your world, in your consciousness, through a darkened glass, or in part. Will the way you speak things, hear things, will it all be in part? So if you're in part in your mind and in your heart, will everything you hear come in part? Will everything you see come in part? It will. You know what needs to change that? The perfection needs to come. I think there's another scripture too that deals with the looking face to face with the Lord. What happens when the dark glass is no longer dark? So, right. That's exactly right. So if this is darkness and that's your perception and you're looking through darkness, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see part. What keeps you as a child? Darkness. Darkness. So what did Jesus Christ come to do for you? Bring you the light. That is so focused. I mean, God knew how to focus us to exactly what we need to come to the light. Now, how you perceive all this, for example, how many times do you need to be told prophecy of what you are? Sometimes a lot. Do you have to, any of you ever been told over and over and over what you are in God, and yet you still struggle with it? What's the evidence that is present in you? Is there not a dark glass? Does the dark glass need to be removed? It does, doesn't it? It does. It needs to be removed. And when the dark glass is removed, you will see clearly. As a matter of fact, when the dark glass is removed, you know who you will see?
Your perfection.
You will. You'll see your perfection. And what else will you see? Which will be Jesus, right? Because you'll see him as you are. In other words, looking at him tells you who you are. Everybody know that, right? When you look at Jesus, at the face of Jesus, he's revealing you who you are. Jesus wouldn't have to say a word. All you'd have to do is look at him, and that tells you who you are going to be or who you are in his mind. But who else does it reveal to you? If you take the glass off, the dark glass, do you know who you see? You see the man of sin for who he is. And you begin to identify your weakness through clarity. Through clarity. In other words, have you ever Brad, have you ever taken a thought that was like, okay, I messed that up. That was, man, I might even need to repent about that. I've done some things in God I didn't understand. I shouldn't have done it that way. But have you ever been able to look at it as like, wow, I see more clearly that what I did it the wrong way? Or did you jump into that and get so condemned you couldn't function? And you just stopped doing it? I'll tell you the difference of when the glass is there, the dark glass is there versus the dark glass is removed. When you learn what your sin is, you go and do it right. That means the glass is not dark. When it's dark and you can see your sin, you stop doing everything. In other words, you separate. Did I make sense there? In other words, how many of you have ever seen you were doing something wrong in God, so you stopped doing it altogether? Well, I'm going to stop now, completely. That's because you're looking at yourself through the wrong light. That means you're judging yourself that you are not doing it right, so I'm not doing it at all. But if you look at it through the eyes of Jesus and you see your weakness, you'll change it. It'll change. You're will no longer be doing it in the weakness. You will have understood that that's what the flesh was supposed to do. If I work in the flesh and then God shows it to me, I go, oh yeah, that's what I was supposed to do when I was working in the flesh. I get it. But now I'm going to stop because God showed me not to work in the flesh. So now I'm going to stop. And therefore, God's going to help us, man. God is going to help us. There's a lot here. I feel like I'm a parable today. But I think that if you will allow God to let you focus on the word of Jesus Christ and allow it to guide you, it's going to show you the things you need in your life. It's going to show you. Like how you deal with pressure of life, how you deal with death, how you deal with gossip and things like that, wickedness and evil works and different things. How do you deal with all those things? All of that is going to depend on your eyes and your ears and what God has done in your heart. So are you wanting to see Jesus and be perfected, or do you want to stay in part? And I think if you allow the word of the Lord to come and show up to us, you're going to see that that part is going to be done away with. And isn't that the will of God, that the part be done away with? That's the will of God, man. That's the will of God. And that's what God is after. God is after that. Yeah, I've noticed some things in the world. There's a lot of people that know the Word of God. A lot of people know the Word of God. A lot of people don't. I'd say a lot more don't than do. But there are some that give themselves to the Word of God and study it and really go after it. But one thing I've learned about studying the Bible and getting to know Jesus through the Bible, because there's a lot there Jesus can be revealed in the Scripture. The part that cannot be, because that's just a part, the part that cannot be left out is the spiritual revelation. And every time God sent a deliverer to Israel, what was he wanting to accomplish? Just your deliverance? Or a revelation of who delivered you? Which one? In other words, I want you guys to look for the revelation of the one who is delivering you. Look for the revelation of the one who is talking to you. Look for the revelation of the one who is guiding you and trying to bring you to that prophecy. Okay? Look for him. Where is he in your life? Look for him. And allow him to be revealed. And when you do, you will be focused, very focused on who he is and what he wants to accomplish. So therefore, some of you are here today and maybe you don't have a lot of desire to seek after maybe the scriptures or the words of God. I know this is true among us in some cases. But here's the thing you do. There has to be a starting point in your life. Okay, there has to be a starting point. Do you know what that starting point will be? I am going to give myself to the Lord in some capacity. Now, here's the thing. It will be a work of the flesh, probably. It will probably be a work of the flesh. But can you be okay with that and still give yourself to what God is doing? If this don't make sense to you, just come and talk to me, okay?
And that's through patience, right?
Through patience, yes. Because at some point, there has to be a lining up of God's will with you. There has to be. So even if you have to start with you trying to do, because the draw is in you, the heart, the desire is somewhere in there, or you wouldn't be here. I'm speaking to you to come into the deeper waters, is what I'm saying. You don't want to stay on the shore all the time and be part of the family on the outskirts. You want to dive into the water and go swimming in deep water. You may not know how to do that. If you don't know how, at some point make a conscious choice in this life that you are going to give yourself to God. And once again, it may be thoughts of the flesh at first. But here's what I've learned about God. God understands flesh, and he knows what has to work there. And God can visit the word of God that he has put in you. And I'm saying, go for it. Go for it. Go for it the best way you can and let God come and visit it. God came and visited it. And I'm going to end with this thought. The disciples, when they were in the world, what were they living by to serve God? What were they living by? But Jesus hadn't come yet. Before Jesus came, when Jesus showed up, what were they living by to serve God? Right. The law of God, the words of the prophets, that's all they had. So is it possible that they were serving God the best they knew how, but only still were doing works of the flesh? Is that possible? It's very possible because it's true. So they were living for God by doing works of the flesh, and God still counted it to come to them. So they knew the word of God, didn't they? How did they learn it? You know how they learned it? By reading it and being taught it. But that was all in the flesh. But then Jesus came. And then what did Jesus do? He came into that flesh where they were learning and began to show them the way out. And then what happened? The Holy Ghost came. And what happened to all the word that they had learned while in the flesh? He made it alive. So what I'm telling you is, you may have to start out in the flesh trying to get to the Spirit. But don't fear. I'm telling you, with a right perception, God can come and visit you and make all alive everything that you have ever done in this world. So do I count reading your Bible as useless at night? Just do yourself a favor. Before you fall asleep, get one verse in you. get that one verse in you. That's a good thought, okay? If you can't even go for a chapter, man, get that one verse. At least get some good thoughts in you that God can visit. And yeah, once again, you may still work it by the flesh, but God is good with dealing with flesh. He got no problem with it. He'll come and slap it good and wipe it out of the way and put his Spirit of God in you. So we got some good opportunity. Do not get lazy right now. Do not get lazy. Put yourself diligent. Put yourself diligent in the Word of God. Put yourself diligent in conversation in the Word of God. Give yourself to it. And God can raise it up. Is that good enough? I promise you He'll raise it up. We don't like sin, by no means, but we know its purpose. So we're going to trust the Lord. Any questions for me? Okay. Go in the Lord, do the work of God, give yourself to it, and let's begin to follow these principles of God, okay? I mean greater. I know you're following them, but I mean give yourself. So let's go swim in the deep water, okay? All right. God bless you today. I'll see you this week.